Hi there, thank you very much for the introduction and for having me. My name is David Brilley and I'm a PhD student at the Bristol Composite Institute. And today I'll be presenting on adhesively bonded joint shear test characterization using modified Arcan fixture. I would like to thank my co-authors for their contributions and their continuous supervisation. So the motivation behind my project is looking at the materials that go into an MRI magnet here, and this stereobonded magnet is capable of storing 10 megajoules with the solenoids that form the magnetic field exerting very large electromagnetic forces upon spaces between the solenoids, and very complex stress states occur, both radial compression and large shear loading. And therefore, the thermomechanical properties in the constituent materials are necessary to analyze the stress states, which is necessary for the predicting failure that might occur, which would lead to failure of the magnet field and therefore large damage. So an aspect of the assembly that is of concern is the bonded joint between the solenoids and the spacers. And these bonded joints are often found in many composites engineering applications. And this is to reduce their mass and their ability to join dissimilar materials. Lap and butt joints, however, are often needed, and for this MRI magnet, this is also the case, but they often show reduced strength. And the quality of these bonds, as well as being dependent on the manufacturer, and their failure is determined by the stress state imposed upon it. To analyze the bond, a thick adherence shear test is often used as an optimized single lap shear test. However, edge effects are still prevalent, which cause peeling stresses and normally lower failure. So instead, I propose the use of a modified Arcan fixture, and this one specifically was developed by Toby Lowe, and using it in quasi-static loading in shear configuration to achieve a shear failure at the adhesive point. Most of the specimen is clamped with a small field of view here, and we can analyze the strength of the bond by applying this shear load, but also using counterweights to fine-tune the rig and make sure we're eliminating biaxial tension and compression in the shear. And this is coupled with digital image correlation to monitor the full field displacements. So the specimens that I used were steel plates joined with the same epoxy found in the assembly. And it was done in load control with these DIC parameters. And I want to highlight the pixel resolution, which will become very important later on. And this is determined by the cameras used, the sensor sizes, but is limited by these anti-buckling rails and also the standoff distance between the camera lenses and the specimen. So the analysis and capture was done with MatchID software, and determining the smallest possible subset size to be 71 pixels. And here they are in yellow. over the interface. And to maximize the field of view, the camera's rotated through 90 degrees, and so therefore rigid body motion compensation and rotation is needed. And this is how the rest of the results will be presented. So first, I wanted to analyze the different strain components. And here is the strain in the Y direction. And as we can see, it's very low and almost all noise. Similarly, for the strain in the X direction. But in the shear direction, we can distinctly see the adhesive join and the intensity of the strain. It is much, much larger. So when we take these shear strains from the Match ID algorithm and plot it against an average shear stress across the bond, we get a nice response. However, what happens is the shear modulus is much higher than is expected, and this is a similar case from Harris, the epoxy resin system, and this is much more in line with the shear modulus of other epoxy resins. The reason we get this increase in shear modulus, or apparent increase, is due to the bond thickness and our spatial resolution, which I highlighted earlier. And this region of intensity is 1 millimeter. However, this is much larger than the bond thickness. So what we are seeing in this strain distribution is a smearing effect from the steel plates and the epoxy resin, increasing the values as it's an average. And so this G here is an average of the steel and the epoxy material properties. However, the shear strength is well lined with the literature. Harris did a single lap shear test and so got a lower shear strength than what I found with my MapRig. So to try and eliminate this smearing effect, I propose putting a vector across my interface, and which has a horizontal and vertical component. And then when we apply a shear, we get this vertical displacement and the extension of the vertical component of the vector, delta y. And for small angles, small shear angles, we can get epsilon xy equals this displacement divided by the bond thickness, and then multiplying it by 2 for the engineering shear strain. So now comparing these results, and 12 vectors were used across the length of the bond and taken the average, we get much higher strains and a shear modulus much lower and more in line with what we would expect for these for this epoxy resin. Now, I used the same method for my contemporary materials found in the MRI magnets. And here we have two plates of one side the GFRP and one side the coil, and it was clamped similarly in the MapRig. And plotting three specimens, we can see a shear modulus similar to that of the steel seal specimens. However, a much lower shear strength. So using the same method, we get consistent results. But actually, we can't use the virtual vectorized extensometers because the compliance of the GFRP and the coil are much more similar to that of the epoxy resin, that you cannot assume that the adherents are much stiffer, and therefore the all of the displacement is purely in the epoxy resin, but instead is a combination. And so instead we get, there's a reduced strength also due to the geometry of the bond. So in conclusion, the MAFRIG shear configuration produced a near pure shear distribution at the interface. And the neat epoxy was that of 2.32 kilopascals, and the shear strength of 17%, which both are well aligned with literature. This virtual vectorized extensometer technique is very useful when examining narrow region of interest, where you have a very large, like an order of magnitude difference between the stiffness in the adhesives and the adherents. And this experiment was used with contemporary materials to look at the epoxy in situational use. Further work, I'll be developing a method to look at these true strains within the less stiff adherents, model the brittle fracture with boundary conditions representative of those in the MAF. Use other MAF loading configurations to generate a failure envelope that we used in analysis of the assembly, and repeat these tests at cryogenic temperatures, which is needed for the superconductive aspect of the solenoids. I would like to thank my funding bodies and my sponsor company, Siemens, for their continuing support. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Do you have any questions?
Do we have questions?
Thanks for your presentation. I saw you use a relatively low loading rate. Is there any reason behind it? And what would happen if you increase the loading rate?
So I was mainly doing that to see the effects of a slow loading rate with relatively low image capture of 1 hertz, but I wanted as much information over my tests as I could. And I think if you used a much higher rate, you might not experience the same kind of shear distribution, but also in situ, these MRI magnets have these forces applied constantly, and therefore it's very, having these static cases is quite important to try and emulate the in situ case.
Any other question? In which case, just a quick one from me. So, I just wanted to ask, how did you prepare the speckle pattern for the DIC?
So I used a white spray paint to get the base colors, and then a black spray, and I've become very good at trying to making a uniform speckle pattern, very small scale. I was going to experiment with airbrushing, but it's getting a large region of interest, or relatively large region, can be quite challenging. and controlling that speckle sizes.
Okay, I see. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
So let's thank Peter again.